it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they're going to keep it conservative for Myers. Walker on the run. He may bust a touchdown. He will. Backbreaker from Kenneth Walker III. And Seattle jumps out by 2 scores.
We were down some bodies going into the game. We absorbed some attrition in game, and many of those guys are new, and so it's a challenge. We certainly are capable of better than that, and so we'll keep working.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Thanks for finding us the day after a really disappointing loss for the Steelers, and in some respects humiliating to the Seattle Seahawks, including that play we just heard. The Seahawks becoming the first team ever faced with third and goal at the 19-yard line or worse to score a touchdown. They didn't go for the jugular and try to get the ball to the end zone. They ran one of Arthur Smith's favorite plays, a give-up pitch play. And
the Steelers were the team that gave up.
Your defense got mollywhopped on that play.
Good usage. Good usage.
Nick Herbig, Peyton Wilson. They should have painted like they do at crime scenes, their body, like the line around it on the Acrisure Stadium turf.
They might have run out of chalk at that point.
Looking like temperatures will be in the 70s tonight as the Pirates open up their final homestand of the season at PNC Park. That's Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Okay, so they gave up 24 defensively. There was the touchdown on special teams, that blunder that made it 31, but 24 is still too many.
Pony, they have still, even if you take that off the board, the last two games, 28 points per game.
Yep, and if you look at their last 10 games, it's now 27.9 points per game. I want to get to everybody's calls on this game because I know we have people that are upset in one event. There's been a lot of discussion today about schematics and if it's the players or it's the coaching. Let me give you one thing I saw or didn't see in this game that still has me hacked off. We have intern Jack here producing today. How old are you, Jack?
I'm 19.
I'd say for a 19-year-old, he has consumed
a 42-year-old.
He's also consumed a lot of NFL football. Okay. He knows his stuff.
He does. He comes in with big takes, and he knows what he's talking about. I would agree with you.
Jack, when you think of Sam Darnold, everything that's happened in Sam Darnold's life in football, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Probably the season he had last year.
Really? Well, that already blew up in my face.
Why don't you ask me and I'll pretend
Malzi,
that I'm
Jack. What's the number one thing that pops into your head?
Mostly the struggles he's had for almost the entirety of his career, other than last year.
More in line with what I'm looking for.
I was thinking of that
it's okay,
question
Jack.
In a different way. I was kind of thinking of, like, what's the highlight of Sam Darnold's career? Like, yes, when you think of Sam Darnold.
No. This is, when he says, if he asked you highlight, you could go with that. You just say, yes. Broadly speaking, broad strokes.
I mean, the guy is going to have the seeing ghosts comment follow him wherever he goes until he can show people that he's not someone that gets bamboozled or scared or shook by those pressure-packed moments, but also when defenses decide to throw the kitchen sink at him.
Mm-hmm.
He had in his last three games, the playoff game, well, the NFC North Championship game to the Lions,
yep.
Then the wild card game in week one. Three games, one touchdown. In the last two games of 2024, he looked like he was urinating down his leg again.
He looked like old Sam Darnold.
And Brian Flores, who the Steelers let walk out the door mistakenly, did what he always does. He came up with blitzes. They came from every different location. Darnold didn't know what to do. He was like a computer that is on the fritz where like the processor in it is broken and malfunctioning. and steam or smoke starts to come out of it. That's what he looked like in that game. And, okay, you're the big bad Steelers. You paid T.J. Watt $41 million. You just assume that you can get pressure with four guys. We don't need to do anything creative. We don't need to do anything outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. And you never really adjust or evolve off of that. I would build my game plan for back on playing. What this guy struggles at is if you send a safety or a corner or a nickelback or something like that, it kind of flusters him.
Does not
he looks deer in headlights.
He does not handle pressure in dirty pockets well.
And the Steelers, other than one play I can remember, where Peyton Wilson rushed up the middle, and the running back had to pick up Herbig, and he came straight through
and clobbered him
and knocked the daylights out of him. Other than that, there's no moment in this game where Darnold's going back to the sideline thinking, what the hell was that look? What was this curveball they just threw me? And that's how you beat this guy. And they refuse to do it because they're so stubborn. They think their way works.
Mike
and it's
thinks
not.
His way works.
Yes, and it hasn't for a long time. Really, going back, the last time their defense was anywhere close to on top of the world was when they beat the Ravens here last fall. And really, ever since that game, look at their defensive performances since.
Yeah. It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've been pathetic.
Cracked. They've gotten cracked. I mean, it came for LeBeau eventually. The Tebow game was the ultimate nadir, and then that was it for him. But if you don't adjust, it comes for everybody. Your scheme never stays that novel. I mean, quickly, I would say the Chiefs offensively have been figured out, at least for the time being, by most of the NFL. Like, you can keep them bottled up. Here's what kills me. The one time they, like, hit him as he threw and hit him hard, it was on the Horton touchdown. Why? Because the guy was 15 yards wide open. And so kind of like point one, can you be an NFL quarterback is can you stand in and if a guy is wide open, throw him the football? But you're supposed to have that guy hitting Sam Darnold where he doesn't know where the ball's going because there's nobody that looks open. Instead, there's Jalen Ramsey trailing a rookie by half of a football field, it looks like.
How do you spend almost $160 million on a defense? Almost $20 million on a head coach. And people rightfully are looking at them right now and saying, they don't have any good defensive linemen. I get it, Harmon's injured, but we haven't actually seen him play a real game yet. Hayward has not lived up to the contract. He did knock that ball up in the air.
If they win the game yesterday, Hayward's play there is a much more...
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a much more fondly viewed play, but by and large, he hasn't been...
But when you allow 10 plus, they allowed 10 runs of over 10 yards.
Well, they got
How
gashed,
is that possible?
Man. They got gashed. And when you had to know that the Seahawks were going to still, I think, with a 17-14, well, once it got to 24-14, I should say, you had to know that they weren't necessarily, because McDonald is still a guy who came up on the defensive side, and I still think there's some of that in him. They weren't going to try to go completely crazy running up the score on you. But in the second half of that football game and in the fourth quarter, when they needed to make plays, when they needed to run the ball, when they needed to just get this or that from the Steelers, they got it, man.
Yeah,
and they it wasn't like Kenneth Walker was making Barry Sanders runs. There were holes everywhere.
Well, he took advantage of that zone scheme that Hayward was so scared of during the week, whereas Charbonnet just kind of runs right at you, and they actually did a good job on him. Anytime Charbonnet was in instead of Walker, I thought the Steelers could hold them below five yards.
And when he wasn't, I was
like, oh, here comes another possible touchdown on this play.
The good thing is that Kenneth Walker is they're the only team in the league that runs zone blocking, and Kenneth Walker's the only NFL running back who can see a hole materialize before it does and cut to it. That actually might seem like the truth if you've watched Najee Harris for the past several years or watched Caleb Johnson's two unbelievably unimpressive carries in his NFL career thus far.
Yep.
But in fact, the NFL is comprised of running backs who make a living out of seeing a hole right before it develops and then beating you to the spot.
All right, let's get to our listener, starting with one of our favorites, Noah and Duquesne. Hello, Noah.
How you doing, friends?
Hey, man.
All right, well, we can talk about schematics. We can go through all of the stupid crap that Tomlin throws at you. You know, this is my problem. We just mentioned that T.J. Watt makes $41 million a year, right?
Yep.
Why is he not playing in a game where Alex Highsmith is hurt? I swear I'm seeing Jack Sawyer in the game more often. That's the biggest schematic issue to me. This would be like if Andrew Filipponi and Chris Muller received the biggest raises in 93.7 history, then the whole office gets COVID, and intern Jack is the only man that steps up and plays and is the only guy doing his job. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's my biggest schematic issue. And that has the audacity to go up there on the stage and say schematically we're doing A-OK. It doesn't make any sense to me, guys.
But he's always been that. He's always a guy that will take plays off because he goes max effort and needs a blow and doesn't want to have reps where he's out there at like 65 or 70%.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's more tolerable, and you can stomach that when the reps he's on the field for actually back that up because he's routinely getting home and disrupting games and stripping the ball. I think he was charted with 2 formal quarterback hurries yesterday. I think that was it. He's gone 6 regular season games without a sack.
Here's the stat on that backs up what Noah's saying. Herbig played more than Watt.
Yep, he played a snap more.
How is that possible?
I saw that this morning.
The plan
was
for Herbig to be
head.
A situational player. Highsmith gets hurt 10 defensive plays in, and then when it's all said and done, Herbig was out there more than Watt? That's a head-scratcher, man. Like, I don't think it boils down to just that. Watt sits on the sideline too much, but it's a novel point that I haven't heard anybody else bring up. Here's Emmanuel in Carnegie. Hello, E.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This was a tough one, man, but to be honest, I kind of saw it coming from last week's performance. Our defense has not been playing well in the last, 7 games or so. My only hope is maybe our young draft picks can step up a little bit when they come back. You know, Harmon and Highsmith, hopefully they come back because we're not going anywhere unless we're top 10 defense. Last year we finished 12th overall in yards.
Unless Derek Harmon comes back, Emmanuel, and is Warren Sapp, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, and Reggie White rolled into one football player, I'm not so sure that it's going to make a massive difference if the rest of these guys look the way they do.
I also think that Highsmith is turning out to be a bad contract and a poor investment. And I thought so at the time, and I like Alex personally, but I didn't think it ever made sense. Same logic I had with Bud Dupree. Why pay Robin so much money? Why pay the second guy so much?
One of the arguments was he's remarkably stout against the run. One, when he's been out there, they've gotten gashed this year. 2, if he's not out there, then who cares if he's stout against the run if he's dinged
exactly.
up?
Exactly. It's more a commentary on the fact that he can't stay healthy now. He doesn't play enough for the amount of money that he makes.
It's feeling just watching their defense and watching how old some of these guys look all at once and realizing how much they have committed themselves to the idea that those kinds of players can have at least 1 or 2 more really high-level years is unsettling. It really is.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.